Today is the beginning of a three-week homily series. And the title of this series is Trust Me. So we're going to look at that for the next 3 weeks. When we introduced this topic a couple of weeks ago, we posed this question. We said, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is, isn't it? And we all would nod yes to that. And then we followed up with this question. Do you apply that logic to Jesus? Does unconditional love, abundant forgiveness, eternal life, and overflowing mercy sound too good to be true? Is it not easier to think of God as a judge punishing our mistakes and only rewarding our good deeds? How can we possibly receive the gifts Christ offers us if deep down they seem too good to be true? Interesting question. But friends, we're not the first group of people to pose that question. And this is not the first gathering that this question is expressed. Even in our Lord's time, they asked the same question. A pool of water fell over and 18 people lose their lives. And the immediate question is, what did they do wrong? Are they being punished? And then there was these Galileans who lost their life. And their blood was mixed with blood of other sacrifices. And people naturally ask the question, did they do something wrong? Were they being punished? I hear questions like that today, sometimes when natural disasters happen. Why did this happen? Is God punishing us? Sometimes I hear it when people lose something, maybe a job, maybe their health, maybe their loved one. Is God punishing? What did I do wrong? It's almost as if God is like a tyrant who takes away from us indiscriminately whenever he wants. Nobody can love a tyrant. At best, all we can do is fear one. And nobody can trust a tyrant. You always stay under the radar a bit. They ask the question to Jesus, and Jesus answers like a good teacher. Good teachers don't always give you the whole answer. They just point you in the direction. And our Lord says, no, that's not how punishments happen. But if you don't repent, the same thing might happen to you. Doesn't happen, but if you don't repent, what do you mean, Lord? What do you mean? We'll come back to that. But if you're one who wonders if natural disasters, losses, are the ways God punishes you, I got good news. There's another answer. If you're one who falls on the other side of the spectrum, and there are some whose view of God is totally different. There are some who say, if God loves me, then I can do whatever I want. He'll forgive me anyways. All I have to do is come and ask him. That kind of belief is the kind of belief that we try and push God along to do what we want him to do. We reverse the relationship. And that doesn't work either. I find some people living in that kind of life perspective or moral code. And that's not right either. And the same invitation is there. If you don't change, if you don't repent, you'll be stuck. You'll actually end up in spiritual death. Looking at both ends, I asked the question in my prayer this week, where's the good news? Where's the good news for us? And I found it in Genesis. I found it with Moses. And what the Lord does with Moses, he oftentimes does with you and me. He picks the right way to get our attention. Moses is just going along, living a normal day, taking care of flax. And he's walking along, and a bush is burning, but it's not burning up. And Moses goes, whoa, what's going on here? And out of curiosity, goes over and looks at it. And then God says, stop. You are on holy ground. Take your sandals off, and you are on holy ground. And Moses goes, whoa, I'm in trouble. God speaks, and he's speaking to me. I bet I'm going to die. And that doesn't happen. But in the beginning of the encounter, God says, Moses, I am God, and you are not. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the one who created the world and has been following you and others since the creation. I am God, and you are not. And what follows that is God's mercy. What follows it is he says, I have seen and witnessed the afflictions of my people. I have heard their cries. I know their suffering. And I want to rescue them. Wow. Comes from heaven down into the lives of Moses and others and says, I want to rescue them. That's the God who invites you and me to trust. Can we trust him? Behind the word, trust me, is a picture of the Sacred Heart. It's as if our Lord's heart is open for us to look at. But more than look, to give our lives to. Can you trust God that much? He says, if we don't repent, if we don't change, we'll end up in death. What does he mean by that? Well, we all know in one way or another. God the Father says, I have witnessed the affliction, heard their cry, and I will rescue them. We all need rescuing of one kind or another. Moses and his people were coming out of slavery. It led me to ask, what enslaves us? What keeps us and holds us prisoner? What do we want to be set free of? Pope Francis has been saying to us over and over again, the face of God is mercy. And whatever it is we're struggling with, God desires to set us free. The Holy Father is not only saying it, he's putting it into action. This week, he went to a treatment center and sat and visited with the patients that are part of the treatment center. Addictions imprison people. Addictions enslave people. When you're addicted to alcohol, drugs, pornography, gambling, or other things, you are a slave to that. It almost becomes like your God. It picks your friends, determines your values, shapes your behavior, and it's all deadly. And Pope Francis, knowing that, went to the place and he walked in and he said, fellas and ladies, I come to bring you good news. There is a God who loves you and wants to set you free. Take your life and put it in his hands. Your will, put it in his care. He will take care of you. Take a look at your life. Do an inventory. Do an accounting of all your strengths and your weaknesses, your virtues and your sins, your accomplishments, your failures, everything. And then admit to God and one other person and to yourself, the mistakes you've made, you will be set free. And then pray for his will and the strength to carry it out. Some of our behaviors remove us from the freedoms the rest of us enjoy. Some of our behaviors remove people from the freedoms they enjoy. we end up being incarcerated, put into prison. Pope Francis, when he was in Mexico last week, visited prisoners. And to the community of law enforcement and corrections, he said, don't leave these women and men slaves. Don't leave them prisoners. Help them to restore their life so that when they get out, they can rebuild the trust that they've lost. Yes, their actions remove their freedom. They can't live freely because of what they did, but they can, some can be restored, and help them be restored. God desires to restore you and me. The punishment for our sins, the punishment is the natural consequences of them. The punishment of our sins, they separate us from our God, from one another, from ourselves sometimes. And God desires to restore, to set us free. At the beginning of creation, heaven and earth were separated, but the Redeemer wants to bring it back together, and he wants to bring it in your life and mine. Paul said, the ultimate price of our sins is death. Knowing that, Jesus said, I'll take that on for you. I'll die for you so that you may know of the Father's mercy. Pope Francis wants the world to know of that mercy, and he wants you and me to know about it. And so, Friday from noon to Saturday noon, in every basilica and cathedral all around the world, he's calling for 24 hours of praying for mercy, of coming and seeking mercy through the sacrament of reconciliation. So from noon Friday to noon Saturday at the basilica and at the cathedral in St. Paul, priests will be there welcoming people who want to know his forgiveness. We're going to have extended times here at Holy Name. They're in the bulletin. You'll see them on 60 Seconds. Right after this Mass next week, we'll have an opportunity to remain and celebrate that sacrament, to come before the Lord and seek his mercy. And mercy always comes before judgment. Mercy always comes before judgment. And what's that mercy? Lifting the burdens that we carry. Can you trust God to do that? Can you trust him that much? Let's pray for the grace to say, yeah, Lord, I do trust, but help me to trust.